Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. It is currently the 19th of June, 2013, here in Japan. It is the 18th back in Canada, where I'm joined once again by our old friend Dan Dix of PressForTruth.ca. Dan, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, as I understand, you just flew in from the UK, and boy, are your arms tired. So let's just talk a little bit about your trip. Was this your first time to jolly old England?
My very first time to jolly old England, and it was a cheerio time. I had a very warm, welcoming, and as I said, yeah, first time being there, so it was fantastic meeting a lot of people there who I've been speaking to on the internet over years, and never having been able to meet. So it was my first time meeting a lot of people, and first time being there is a fantastic experience, and obviously the whole purpose of going there was to cover Bilderberg. So I went there to document the Bilderberg protest, stayed there for 5 days, and had one heck of an experience, to say the least.
I can only imagine. All right, well, let's set this up for people. For people who weren't following the Bilderberg coverage, obviously this year it was taking place at Watford in Hertfordshire in near London. Tell us a little bit about the location and what it was like when you got there.
Well, the location this time around was very, very different from any other kind of a Bilderberg conference that I've experienced in the past. In particular, last year at Chantilly, Virginia, you may have noticed from our film, The Turning Point, for example, that we were able to document a lot of the attendees, a lot of the delegates pulling in and out of the meeting. And this time around, it was a little bit different in the sense that it was organized in a festival as opposed to like an organic protest that may have just kind of spawned up. And so in that sense, it was different because we were kind of placed into a particular area. It was the first time I've ever had to have my bag searched and go through a metal detector in order to get into this area. And there's pros and cons to having a Bilderberg organized in a festival as opposed to a protest. And one of the good things I got to say that came out of this is the fact that, you know, thousands of people showed up because of the festival nature, because of some of the key guest speakers who were scheduled to speak there. That gained a lot of attention, that brought out literally thousands of people. I think at one point there were 1,500, maybe 2,000 people inside and close to 1,500 people outside who didn't even get in because there was not enough space. So it was very different comparing it to past Bilderbergs. And let's take it back to 7 years ago. The first time I ever covered Bilderberg was in 2006. And back then, it was literally just myself, Alex Jones, Jim Tucker, Daniel Esgelon, and there was maybe 10, maybe 15 protesters at the most. And you fast forward 7 years now to Chantilly and then Watford, England, we've got thousands of people showing up. So that's a true testament to the fact that Bilderberg is being exposed at record numbers now. So those are some of the things that I noticed as far as differences in regards to this year's protests, comparing it to previous ones.
Well, there's no doubt that the awareness is exploding exponentially. And as you say, I mean, just comparing the crowds this year to a few years ago is quite stunning to look at the difference. And as you say, there are pros and cons about the way that this is organized. But at a certain point, obviously, there's going to be that kind of crackdown against these types of protests because they have been so disruptive of the conferences in the past. And certainly voices have been heard even there inside the hotel as megaphones are deployed and the like. So there's no doubt that there's going to be an increasing crackdown on these types of protests in future years. But with that, attendant with that comes unprecedented media coverage. Let's talk a little bit about the public reaction and exposure that this year's Bilderberg received.
Sure. Well, one of the things that came out of this is the fact that thousands of people showed up. That means that the mainstream media can no longer just ignore this. I mean, they've been doing that for decades now. And when you have thousands of people descending upon an event like this, they can just simply no longer ignore it. So that's a good thing that came out of this. I know CNN covered it. Some other major newspapers covered it. BBC was even there. However, noticing the coverage from the BBC, it was a little bit slanted. I noticed they took the take of trying to portray everybody as crazy conspiracy theorists, and they didn't really pay a lot of attention to the Bilderberg group itself, some of the people who are inside, some of the things that are being talked about. They kind of focused on this large crowd of people who gathered outside, this fringe element who they considered crazy conspiracy theorists. But at least they're starting to show up. So I think that's a step in the right direction. The fact that mainstream media is starting to have to show up to these things. Yes, their coverage is slanted. Yes, they are spinning this to try to make people look crazy. But at least they're still getting that word Bilderberg out into the minds of the masses. So again, just the fact that mainstream is starting to show up to these types of events is a sign that we're taking the steps in the right direction. So it gives me a lot of hope, a lot of inspiration to just imagine what may come of this in the coming years. And next year's Bilderberg and the Bilderberg after that, you know, if we got thousands of people this year, we might see tens of thousands in the next couple Bilderbergs. So, I mean, the mainstream media has got no choice anymore but to have to come out and cover these kinds of events because of the amount of exposure that we're starting to get with the numbers that we're starting to get as well.
Well, I think you're exactly right about that, and there is no such thing as bad publicity for this type of event through the mainstream media, because as a new American poll shows, a new Gallup poll, 77% of Americans do not trust mainstream television news, so anything they say is discredited. So when they try to marginalize people as conspiracy theorists for daring to care about something like the Bilderberg event, I think most people understand that for what it is, which is a psyop against the people at large. So the mainstream media, of course, doesn't want to talk about what was actually happening at the conference. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? What can you tell us about who was actually attending this year's conference and what might have been on the table for the agenda?
Well, of course, myself being a Canadian, I often like to focus on the Canadian connection to Bilderberg and some of the key players involved that's going to affect Canadians, basically. And I know that this year, for the first time ever, a first-year attendee is Premier of Manitoba, Brad Wall. And this is a guy who was invited for the first time. And we have to remember that in Manitoba is where we have the kind of trade ports, where these super highways are being built from Mexico right on through America, right on up into Canada.
That's right. But just a correction, I believe that was Saskatchewan Premier Brad Wall.
Yeah, Brad Wall, I believe, is Manitoba. I know it's
Saskatchewan. Yeah, I've got it on CBC. Okay. It's right in front of me. It's Saskatchewan Premier.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I've been saying Saskatchewan for the last week, and then I could have swore he was from Manitoba. But either way, basically, this guy is being invited there, and considering that he is there, and you couple that with the fact that Peter Kent and also Frank McKenna, who is a former deputy chair of TD Bank, and this is a guy who was appointed as a Canadian ambassador to the U.S. back in 2005. And it was actually in 2005 when Paul Martin appointed this guy as ambassador. Paul Martin, also being a Bilderberg member, also in 2005 signing the SPP, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, which is the precursor to the North American Leaders Summit. Considering the fact that both of these guys are in attendance this year, together for the first time, makes me think that maybe the North American Union agenda is back on the table. Not so much that it was ever off the table, but I think there's a lot of problems going on right now in the United States, a lot of things that are brewing up and getting ready to happen, really. And it seems that they're getting prepared on how to raise the phoenix from the ashes, if you will, should something go down in the United States, and trying to get their ducks in a line for preparing for a North American Union. So considering that some of these guys were some of the major players who were in attendance this year, I'm thinking maybe it has something to do with the fact that they're bringing the North American Union agenda back onto the table.
I think that you're probably exactly right about that, especially because even the official agenda released by Bilderbergmeetings.org indicated that one of the things they were going to be discussing was nationalism and populism. And I think we all know what that means coming from the Bilderberg insider globalists. It means the erosion of national sovereignty, obviously. And of course, we have meeting minutes that have been leaked out from earlier Bilderberg meetings that show that they've been specifically discussing nationalism as a as something to be feared by these globalist insiders. Another one of the item on the official agenda was how big data is changing almost everything, which is a particularly prescient thing to be discussing just a week or two before the NSA scandal blew up. Any thoughts on what's happening right now with regards to that scandal and how Bilderberg might play a role in all of this?
Well, we have to remember that last year, 2012, was really a year of the attack on the internet, and there was a lot of bills. We all know about CISPA and SOPA and PIPA and ACTA, and it goes on about the amount of bills that the elite have been trying to push through in order to gain control over the free flow of information online. And a lot of these things have been shelved. A lot of these things have been pushed back in the meantime. So clearly, Bilderberg is trying to figure out how to gain control of the internet. And as you said, having this come about just weeks before Edward Snowden blew the whistle on this PRISM system, basically the NSA keeping tabs on absolutely everything that everyone is doing, makes me think that clearly that was probably a big topic of discussion at this year's Bilderberg meeting. We know we have representatives from Google attending. We know we have representatives from Facebook in the past and others. So no doubt figuring out how to control the free flow of information online under the guise of copyright protection and stopping people from infringing upon your copyrighted material. They're using that as an excuse to basically shut down the free flow of information online. So no doubt, I think that was on the topic again this year. And as you said, it's very interesting that just weeks after Bilderberg, we have this huge groundbreaking news coming out from Ed Snowden in regards to the NSA wiretapping scandal that's going on. I just put out a video on that just yesterday, I believe it was. People can check that out at pressfortruth.ca. And I questioned some of the people down in Whistler, BC about privacy rights and how they feel about Big Brother and government being a little too intrusive into gaining information on your every average day citizen.
Exactly right. And another one of the items on that official agenda, cyber warfare and the proliferation of asymmetric threats. So again, we see that cyber activities are becoming more and more important. And a couple of years ago, they were discussing such things as internet licenses and how to basically clamp down on control of the internet. So we know that's very much part of the agenda. Well, let's move on to some of the other topics that are obviously swirling around. And I want to focus on again, this anti-Bilderberg movement, the Fringe Festival that was taking place there, as you say, thousands of people out to listen to speakers. I know you had a chance to talk to some of the people in attendance. What was the general vibe of the people that were there? Why were they out there protesting? How did they come into this information in the first place?
The general vibe was awesome. I got to say, there was an incredible vibe, energy, whatever you want to call it, to that crowd. When you get that many people joining together on a common cause, it's a beautiful thing. And again, a lot of the people came out because of some of the big names who were going to be speaking there. And I think the general consensus was it was a good event. Now, as I said, there's pros and cons to this particular one. We were not able to get those key shots of some of the delegates pulling in and out. We really only had a little tiny window of an opportunity to be able to get those shots. And I think Bilderberg basically learned their lesson from last year. They knew they couldn't let journalists get that close to the cars anymore. Last year, I was literally able to get my camera lens right up to the car windows and document who was coming in and out. So unfortunately, we just weren't able to do that. Another thing I noticed about something that was very different in the vibe, the energy, the feel of this particular Bilderberg was the attitude of the authorities and the police officers, for example. I got the sense that they were being very, very friendly, very kind, very courteous, almost suspiciously friendly and kind and courteous. And I started to wonder if maybe these guys were kind of given the order to be very kind, very courteous, because it's all about bringing attention to Bilderberg. That's our whole purpose of going there. And they know that if they end up doing, you know, any major arrests or any kind of scenes that are caused, it's just going to bring more attention to Bilderberg. So perhaps the police there were instructed to you know, keep things light, be friendly with the protesters. So that's just another thing that I noticed off the top of my head, just thinking about it now, that was very, very different from previous Bilderbergs. It seems that they're taking a whole new approach on how to deal with the exposure. And the fact that hundreds of journalists and thousands of protesters are starting to show up to this thing, they're starting to take on new methods, new ways of dealing with these crowds so as to not bring too much attention to the organizations. So that's another thing that I noticed that was a little bit different coming in this time around than previous Bilderberg meetings.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm certainly glad that you got out there to cover it and to be there for this once again this year. So any final thoughts you'd like to share with anyone who didn't manage to make it out to England this year about Bilderberg and why it's important for us to be talking about it?
Well, it's important to talk about it because this is no doubt some of the most powerful and influential people that are truly pulling the strings. I call them the puppet string pullers, and that's exactly what they're doing. And that's why we need to continue to expose Bilderberg. I think their entire organization is set up, I would say, in somewhat of a pyramidal structure with the Bilderberg group at the top and all of us people making up the base of this whole thing. And I think it's until we get enough numbers, enough people who realize that there is a problem in the first place, I think awareness is still key, that we have to continue to raise awareness about this issue. Yeah, yes, your average person on the street and they've never heard of Bilderberg. So until we get those numbers, nothing's ever going to change. But I think the beautiful thing about this is when you realize that this is organized in this pyramidal structure, and you realize that when we have enough people to represent, let's say, a bottom of the brick in that pyramid, that we can step out through a system, through global non-compliance. And again, it takes enough people to come to the realization that that's what needs to happen. But once that happens, when enough people can step out of this system and through global non-compliance say, I don't want anything to do with this anymore, then it can no longer sustain itself and continue to prop itself up the way it has been for decades. So I think it's important that we continue to grow the numbers, and that's already happening. The ball is rolling. It's a snowball effect. And I think people who see what comes out of this Bilderberg and the last one through the videos, the YouTube videos, the documentary films, the things that are going to come out of this are going to continue to add to this exponential rise of awareness to Bilderberg. And again, it all comes down to having enough numbers. And when we have that, through global non-compliance, we can step outside of this system and begin the beginning of a crash of the pyramid that is Bilderberg.
Well said. We are definitely the gas in the engine of this new world order. And if we're not there, then they don't have the momentum to cross the finish line. So absolutely. And that's an extended metaphor. So let's quit while I'm ahead. For people who are interested in yourself, your work, and your previous work on Bilderberg, tell them where they can go for more information.
Sure. Yeah. People can always check out stuff at pressfortruth.ca. We put up everything on my main flagship website, pressfortruth.ca. I also have pressfortruth.tv, which is for members and subscribers, people who want to support the work that we're doing. And there at pressfortruth.tv, I put out daily videos every day from Monday to Friday. And people who subscribe there can also get access to download all of our films in high quality. And then, of course, you can get direct access to everything if you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/weavingspider. So YouTube is the first place. Everything shows up on pressfortruth.ca. And if you want to support our work, you can subscribe to pressfortruth.tv.
All right, Dendix, always a pleasure to have you on. Looking forward to next time. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you very much, man. Take care.